Grab your Bible, if you would. We've been doing, during the summer, reading through the book of Ephesians. And we read together around 10 verses, and then we begin to exhort and teach from one of those verses. It's just something the Lord placed in my heart during this particular study to do. I believe there's a benefit, obviously, when we read the Bible, but I never want to make the assumption that everybody reads the Bible. And so some of you are like, oh, I already had my devotion earlier this morning. I'm up at 4 a.m. pastor studying. Good for you. But not everybody's there. And so we're dealing with all different levels of spiritual maturity. And so I want to keep encouraging people to do the right things. And someone say amen to that. So we're going to do this again. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 through 10. I'm going to read out of the New Living, but we're going to do it together. So I'll get you started and you can keep it going. Can you do that? Can you do that? If you're not, I'll have you stand up and we'll draw attention to you. And no, I'm joking. I won't do that. All right. Ephesians chapter 2. We'll throw this on the screen. I'll wait for them so we can all do it together. Otherwise, it's just me talking. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Once you were dead. Verse 2. They'll get faster. Maybe not. Verse 3. Desires, inclinations of our sinful nature. Of our very nature, we were subject to God's anger, just like everyone else. But God is so rich in mercy, and He loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, He gave us life when we raised Christ from the dead. It is only by God's grace that you've been saved. For He raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ Jesus. So God can point to us in all future ages. Toward us has shown in all that He has done for us who are united with Christ Jesus. God saved you by His grace when you believed, and you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, so none of us can boast about it, for we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew, Christ Jesus, so we can do good things He planned for us long ago. Give yourself a hand clap. You did an amazing job. All right, it's 4th of July. I got a story that I have told many years, and so if you've heard it, just keep it to yourself for those who haven't heard it. But this is a true story. It was about 2007, 2008. My daughter is about 3 years old, two, 3 years old at that time, and I had a member come up and say, hey, Pastor, my brother has a fireworks stand, and I picked up some fireworks for you. Well, I thought, well, that's nice of him. You know, I used to do fireworks when I was younger, a teenager. I mean, praise the Lord for His mercy and grace for what we would try to light. But anyway, and so I went, well, that's nice. So I took it and handed it off and headed in my car. And so later on that night, on a Sunday evening, it was 4th of July on that particular Sunday also, and it was getting dark, and we're getting ready to put Logan to bed, and I thought, oh, the fireworks. Oh, I need to get that. And I told Kim, hey, let me light this fireworks. Logan has never seen fireworks. This will be her first. It'll be a great experience. And she's like, no, babe, it's getting, you know what I mean, it's dark. It's past her bedtime. She's tired. I said, come on, it'll just take a few minutes. And then she asked, do you know what you're doing? What do you mean? Do I know what I'm doing? I grew up with fireworks. How hard can it be? Fire, wick, boom. I mean, there's really not complexity here, right? And so I said, absolutely. She said, okay. So I went and got in the car. I had it in the garage, and I got the bag out, and it was a large sprinkler. And I thought, wow, this is kind of a pretty good-sized sprinkler. You know what I mean? And I noticed the instructions saying, make sure you use the tube that come with it. I thought, well, that's strange. I've never done sprinklers with tubes, but it's been over a decade since I've shot off fireworks. So we'll just follow their instructions. So I took it out in the front, set it up, pulled out the wick, got a lighter, got Kim to come out on the front porch. That she wouldn't come all the way out, just out to the front porch holding Logan, trying to get Logan's attention. It's getting dark. And I light this, this firework. As soon as I did, I started to walk away. No major rush. It's a sprinkler. Sprinklers are passive. They're weak. They're easy. They're what you give the little kids to play with. As I'm walking away from the sprinkler, no rush, I hear this sound. And I'm like, well, what happened to my sprinkler? And I turn around, as God's my witness, and I hear the loudest cannon, like someone shot a boom, and the whole sky lit up. It was a professional mortar. He didn't tell me that. And so I did what you're supposed to do from back in the day, those of us who know what I'm talking about, when that happens and you're caught off guard, we went inside. And so you go inside quickly. You go inside, you close the doors, you lock them, you turn the lights out, and you act like you weren't there. That way, if a police officer shows up and knocks on your door, then you mess up your face and something open up and just say, are those kids doing it again? That's all you have to say. You just ask a question. You get yourself out of a lot of trouble. And so I run inside, we close the door, I turn the lights out, I lock it, and I looked at my wife, and she said, are you happy now? We just grew up with fireworks. In fact, I'll give you another story. I haven't shared this one. This goes back when I was in college. I was at home, and a friend of my brother, they had gone to school, Evangel College together, and when they were graduated, Todd had moved in and was living with our family and working in St. Louis. And so one Friday night, please don't do this at home, by the way. I need to say that. Please do not do this at home. So one Friday night, I was downstairs playing pool, Todd and I, and we were just bored. Nothing to do. David was gone doing something. Everybody was gone in the house, basically, except for my older sister, Shonda, who had gone to bed early. She had to get up early the next day. And so we thought, let's do a practical joke. Now, in my home, we always did practical jokes on each other. Boy, do I have stories. And I mean, some crazy. We never do just enough. If you get me, and I'm going to get you back. And it's always worse, and there's no boundaries. And OMG, I'm thankful for. Okay, so. And so we decided, let's startle Shonda. And so we found, I'm like, oh, I got some firecrackers. What we need to do is light some firecrackers and throw it in on a bed. That would be a great idea. Don't try this at home. And so we go and get the firecrackers, and we get, should I tell this story? You guys won't even listen to me preach the Bible now after all these crazy stories. And so we get a paper bag. What that reason we did that, I don't know, but something about that college age, we think we're smart and we're really not. And so here was the idea. Todd was holding the bag and the fireworks. I was going to light it. He was going to toss it in the bag for some reason. We're going to throw it into the room and boom, 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 scare Shauna. We'd all laugh. Only to find out is the moment I lit the wick, it was a quick wick. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? And the moment I lit it, it started blowing up in Todd's hand. And in the hallway, a small hallway, I just found myself running. I didn't know where I was going, but the noise was so loud. And I turned around, Shonda screaming, because we definitely woke her up. But we had put black ash all over the white carpet in the hallway. And so, needless to say, I still remember that evening quite well. Don't play with fireworks. Don't play with fireworks. Amen. We celebrate, we do fireworks, but obviously it's for fun and to remember the Declaration of Independence, our celebration and declaration that we do not want to be bound as a nation. It wasn't easy. It wasn't simple. And it was a huge risk. As I was studying for this message today, I want to draw attention to the last verse that we looked at, verse 10. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do, say with me, so I can do. Notice, so that we can do good things that God has planned long ago. Do you realize that God has a plan for you, and that's just not a destiny, but steps in that journey for you to do something good? But also, do you realize that we do have an enemy we deal with? John 10:10, the thief has come to steal, kill, and destroy. Right. Not everybody's going to applaud when you try to do good and live good and do the right thing. Right. The devil doesn't applaud. Not everybody's going to applaud or like it. And Matthew 13 tells us very specifically that when the word comes into our life, that there is pressure or opposition for the word's sake. So when you start to live this Christian life and you think, I'm going to serve Jesus, he's going to be number one, I'm going to do the right thing, everyone's going to love this, you're for a rude awakening because not everybody likes it. Literally, there'll be some that will put opposition or pressure to try to talk you out of what God's calling you to do. They'll try to give you reasons. They'll try to diminish you. They'll try to overspeak you. And so today I want to talk about how to do, when we're trying to do good, when we know what God wants us to do, how to handle the pressures that come against us. Because I believe if we're not careful, we will bend our knee and follow the wrong path based on pressure. Following Jesus, being led by the Spirit, is not going to the place of least resistance. Did you hear me? I believe in being led by the Spirit, but some people think being led by the Spirit is going the easy route, and they misunderstand the tools of the Scripture because different verses have different purpose and different functionality. And what you have to understand that there is a place where Jesus told the disciples, when you go into a house, if it's worthy, leave your peace there. But if they don't receive the gospel, don't worry about it. Don't stress out it. Shake the dust off your feet and keep moving on, which means you don't have to strive with people to force them to get saved. You present the gospel. If they're not ready, just be easygoing about it and just keep moving on. Say, moving on. That's in presenting the gospel to people because God will not override the will of individuals. But when it comes to you following the destiny of God, there is opposition. And when opposition comes, God shows us from his word how we can be victorious, how we're supposed to stand against it, what we're supposed to do. Because when opposition comes, if you keep redirecting your ship when opposition comes, then you'll never get to the destiny that God has for you. Can I get an amen? When the prophet was living at the stream, and God said, stay here and I'll feed you. And God fed him with ravens that brought meat and bread, the Bible says, on a regular basis. And also he had a stream. But in the process of time, in the duration of his future, there was a time when the stream dried up. But you see through the passage, the prophet didn't move even when the stream dried up. He didn't move when things didn't work out the way he wanted. He didn't move just because it was inconvenient. He didn't say, well, that was good for a season. Now I'm going to look for another stream. Nope, nope, nope. What did he do? He waited for the direction of God. And God spoke to him and said, I want you to go to this city because there I've commanded a person to bless you. I've commanded somebody to sustain you. What was he doing? He was looking for the direction of God instead of just for any idea that would come across his path. Too many Christians, they just throw up a prayer and they begin looking under the radar of their observation and they begin to look for whatever shows up. Oh God, send me that spouse. I want to be married. And the next person that walks by that winks at you, you think it must be from heaven. It might not be. It might be from hell. It might be the same devil who heard you pray saying, oh, I'll get them this time because they don't know how to wait and find the mind of God. We'll just send somebody to you. Oh, God, I need a new car, you pray. Lord, I need a new car. And you go to work and tell somebody, oh, I'm praying for a new car. Well, would you believe I got a car for sale? Yeah, it's not great, but I can get you a good deal. It must be God, you say, because I was just praying for a car. And my friend at work is selling a car. It must be from God. No, it's not. It might not be from God at all. Because the devil will try to slide in an alternative option before you can get to the destination. I heard Rod Parsley say years ago, it's on the doorstep. The greatest opportunity to compromise is on the doorstep of victory. When you're ready to, when you are millimeters from the victory, the devil will try to slide in something. He did that to Jesus, did he not? On the destiny on this earth, what did he say? If you worship me, you don't have to worry about all this other stuff. I'll make you where you're over this with authority. I'll put you up there. And Jesus responded, you shall worship none other but the Lord God. What was he saying? I'm not following your path, devil. I'm going to follow the path of God. It's sad to see so many Christians that are good people, good intent, but they haven't been taught the word of God and developed their spirit enough that all of a sudden they think whatever comes down the road, they got to embrace it. Whatever comes down to them, whatever card's dealt, that's the card that's been dealt to me. That's what I got to pick up. No, you can tell the devil, forget you. I'm going to wait for reshuffle. I don't have to play with your cards. Are you hearing me? You have a right to say no. Just because someone offers you something doesn't mean you have to take it. Just someone gives you food doesn't mean you have to eat it. Just someone, here, here's a drink. I don't know what's in it, but enjoy. I'm not drinking that. Why should I take a risk to take what you have brought to me? I don't know your motives. I don't know your training. I don't know anything about you. Don't you bring me something to drink and I don't know who you are. And yet so many times, if anything comes down and knocks on the door of our life, come on in. I guess this is what God wants me to have. No, you want to know what God wants you to have? Begin to look at the text of His Word. Begin to study that New Testament and find out, what does the Bible say to you? What is God speaking to you? What does God say? And my Bible tells me that, listen, God has given us victory and that you don't have to settle for defeat. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. 2 Corinthians talks about, give thanks to God who's always given you the victory. We are God's masterpiece. Say, I'm God's masterpiece. Why are you selling yourself short like you're a piece of trash art? You're the masterpiece of heaven. It's not based on how the world sees it. It's based on what God sees. But Pastor, I don't know if I'm ever going to be famous or rich. Listen, and praise God if you're rich and famous. But at the end of the day, the best thing is to do the will of the Father. And when you get before heaven, hear from heaven, well done. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. See, I am God's masterpiece. He wants us to do something. He wants us to do good. And Ephesians tells us, therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the evil day comes, when the attack comes, when pressure comes, you will be able to stand your ground, and having done all, having done everything, stand. Amen. Shout stand. Stand. Come on, shout stand. We are not going to be a church. We are not going to be Christians that bends to everything. I don't care if they build an idol and say, worship that. You're going to have the spirit of Daniel that says, I'm going to pray louder. I refuse. You're going to have the spirit, the anointing of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego that says, our God is well able to deliver us. But if he refuses, if he doesn't, we want you to know, King, that we're still not bowing to your God. We're still not going to give in to the way you want things done. You might say, well, you got to obey the laws of the land. Not when the laws of the land ever come in conflict with the law of God. When the law of God is in conflict with the law of the land, you better choose God. You better follow Acts that said, should we follow you or obey God? You obey God regardless of the cost. You obey God. We have to stand against opposition. Well, they might laugh at you. They're laughing at you anyway if they're going to laugh at you in the future. Don't you worry about people. You'll be the one with the last laugh when the dust settles and the storm's gone away and you're the only one standing. You're the one with character. You're the one with the anointing. You're the one with peace. You're the one with joy. Let them laugh all they want. When they see the fruit of what God's doing in your life, they cannot deny it because you are a city. Jesus said, a city on a hill that cannot be denied. See, I'm going to stand. How do we stand? Let me use that acronym. Number one, when the pressure's on, when the pressure's on, stay strong. Yes. The Bible says, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. It didn't say feel strong, it said be strong. God told Joshua in Joshua chapter 1, only be thou strong and courageous. I will stand with you. I will be with you like I was with Moses. He goes on to say, and no one will be able to resist you. No one will be able to stand against you. Do you realize that when the anointing of God, when the Holy Spirit, the presence of God is in you and upon you, and you are obeying God, that no man, according to Scripture, if you don't know it, you're destroyed for lack of knowledge. But faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the word of God, Romans 10:17. And as part of your right in the anointing of God, part of your right in standing in obedience in the kingdom of God is to realize that no opposition will be able to withstand you. You are too big. You are too strong. You are too great. The greatness of God is on the inside of you. You are the body of Christ, the fullness of the Godhead bodily. The Bible says, I'm here to tell you that you can stand with your head up and say, listen, devil, I hear you. I see you. But I want you to know that the God who is more than enough is on my side. And if God be for me, who can be against me? I'm going to win this battle. I'm going to charge the giant. David said the same God who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will be the same God who will deliver me from the hand of this uncircumcised Philistine. He's saying my God is bigger than that. My God is bigger. I can see the problem, but when I measure the problem to the possibility of my God, the devil's no big deal. He's no big deal. Let the devil hear you say, he's no big deal. We treat the devil like he's huge and God is insignificant. Jesus didn't walk around avoiding devils. They came running to him, falling down and saying, we've messed up. Have you come before the time to torment us? Please throw us into those pigs, please. They didn't come. Demonic person over 1,000. He didn't argue and saying, I'm not coming out. He was like, can we pick a place? We know we're coming out. There's no argument here. Can we pick a place, Jesus? Lord, can you at least, if you're going to cast us out, and we know that's what's going to happen, no one could restrain the guy. They bound him with chains, and there was so much demonic power, he could break the physical chains. They could not stop him. They could not shut him up. He was so demon-possessed, he was loud and strong in the natural. But when Jesus stepped on the shore, the Bible says, all he did is put his foot. Can you imagine? The anointing so strong. Jesus had the Holy Spirit without measure. We have devalued the presence and power of the Spirit of God, and we have watched too much Hollywood, and we have elevated the power of the enemy. But when Jesus showed up, come on, somebody, you got to stir yourself up. You got to quit listening to the devil. Sometimes you got to turn the news off. When Jesus showed up, when his foot showed up, when his foot touched the shore, he just stepped out of the boat. He didn't even have to go running. He didn't have to go looking. The Bible says that demon-possessed guy, he came running at Jesus and fell at his feet. I'm telling you, the devil, the Bible says, the devil's under your feet. Church, you're the body of Christ. You are the body of Christ, and the devil is under your feet. The devil is under your feet. And when Jesus showed up, he fell down and said, please cast me into those swines. There was no thing saying, I'm so strong, I break chains. What are you going to do, Jesus? No, the power of God is so much stronger. He knew who had authority. He knew he had authority. Some of you are exercising your physical muscles to determine your spiritual strength. That's not the way it works. It's a spiritual authority. Stand strong. Stand strong. Stand. Know the who you are in Christ, your identity in Jesus. Stand your ground. Having done all, stand. Stay strong. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58. So, my dear brothers and sisters, be strong and immovable. Throw that on the screen. Be strong and immovable. 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 You want to know somebody who doesn't receive answers to the prayers? James says a double-minded man does not receive answers to any prayers. Why? Because they keep being moved from winds of doctrine. Every idea that keeps changing their position. Every idea. I'm not saying you shouldn't learn. When you learn, you're going up. This is not going up. This is going lateral, side to side. Oh, God heals, God don't heal. God heals, God don't heal. God's with me, God's against me. God's with me, God's against me. No. You have to get settled in this thing. You got to build your life on the rock of the truth of the Word of God. You got to build your house, the things of value, the things that you live in, the things that identify you, your location, have to be built on the foundational truths of the Word. Build it and be determined. When God tells you to do something, that you will not be moved. It doesn't mean that you don't have motion. You are in motion going somewhere. But immovable means you are not changing your mind. You refuse to let the devil talk you out of it. Quit letting the devil talk you out of it. Quit letting that demon talk you out of your blessing. Quit letting that demon talk you out of your healing. Quit letting that demon talk you out of your peace. Quit letting that, I haven't talked to a devil. Yeah, you are. Sometimes it's your neighbor. It's somebody on the other phone. It could be a family member that the devil's using. You got to quit letting people, anybody that begins to speak conflict to the will of God. You need to recognize it's not them. They're not a bad person, but they're speaking under the influence of something that's not of God. You say, where is that in the Bible? Oh, I'm teaching you well. Where is that in the Bible, you might say? Well, didn't Jesus, after he got the disciples together, is this okay? I'm not following my notes, but we're having fun. When Jesus got the disciples together, and he said, who do men say that I am? And they begin to say this and that. And Jesus said, who do you say that I am? And Peter, who's at that time Simon, he said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the Blessed One. That means the Messiah. Christ wasn't his last name. It's the position of authority. Heaven's assignment. You are Christ. You are the Messiah. You are the Messiah who came from the Father. And Jesus said, Simon, Barjona, flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, which means this is not an idea you came up with or you heard. But my Father, who's in heaven, revealed this to you. And he said, I'm going to change your name. I'm going to start calling you Peter. Petros, which rock. Upon this rock, not on Peter. Some people make Peter more than he is. Upon the revelation of who Jesus is. See, the church is not built on Peter. Peter's gone. Peter's dead. You can go to his tomb. And some religions have glorified and sanctified Peter. Peter's is just an individual. It's upon the truth of who Jesus is that the church is built. Do you see me? You can't get a hold of Peter, but you can access Christ. You can't talk to Peter, but you can get a hold of Jesus. You can't access him. Peter's not around anymore. He's in heaven. To be absent from the body is to be present from the Lord. So you can't get to Peter, but Jesus, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's alive forevermore, and he lives in your heart. You can get a hold of that, who he is. So Peter gave the right answer. Can I get an amen to that? Don't get quiet on me. You got to be able to respond. That's your ability to receive. Do you hear that? This might be new to you, but your ability to receive is based on your ability to respond. Sit there quietly and I'm just taking it in. You'll forget in 24 hours what was said. I'm just helping you out. So Peter's response, talk about looking good, and because the disciples were all about who's going to be the greatest. These guys who are in full-time ministry walking with Jesus, and they still dealing with the ego stuff of who's going to be better than the next. So you know Peter was feeling good. And right in the same chapter, Jesus begins, upon that revelation, begins to tell them what the plan of the Father was. Why? Because he told them later, you're no longer a servant, you're a friend, because a servant doesn't know what the master's doing. Let me tell you what's going to happen. So Jesus brings them into the inner circle. Oh, it's good to be in the inner circle with God. Oh, it's good to get advanced revelation, because the Holy Spirit will tell you things to come. The Holy Spirit can give you insight. Paul even talks about wisdom and understanding, insight in every situation. Oh, it's a good thing to be close to the presence of God in your life. Don't let the world ever tell you that it's a bad thing to be close to God and it's a great thing to be in the world. The people in the world, according to Jesus, are the blind, and they're leading the blind. It's good to see. It's good to know. Can I get an amen? And Jesus begins to tell them what's going to happen. I'm going to go. I'm going to be crucified. And Peter, the Bible says, look it up. Challenge everything I say with the word of God. And Peter pulls Jesus to the side. And he begins to say, Lord, I will not let this happen. Greg Bruce translation, but that's what he basically did. What was he doing? He was beginning to speak out of his ego and not out of the will of God. He was not speaking truth from the word. He was speaking his ego. He just thought, oh, you've elevated me, Lord, so let me just set you straight. Oh, sometimes we got to be set. Sometimes we need to come to Jesus meeting. I know you're anointed. I know you got a great ministry. I know God's using you. I know, but sometimes you need to come to Jesus meeting. Sometimes we need to awaken to the priority of what the kingdom of God is about. And when Peter spoke, Jesus didn't say, let me think about that, Peter. You know, you have a good point. Nope. What did he say? He looked at Peter and said, get behind me, Satan. What was he doing? He identified the words coming out of Peter's mouth were not from heaven, but from hell. Sometimes it'd be good for you to understand, just because you love somebody, everything out of their mouth is not from heaven. It can come from hell. They might be inspired for the wrong reason. I don't know what's going on in their mind. Maybe they're just having a bad day. Maybe they've been wrong around the wrong people. Maybe they've been watching their, I don't know what's in their world. But in the moment, they begin to speak out of the influence of hell and not heaven. And Jesus said, get behind me. It's okay to tell somebody, no, thank you. It's okay to look at them and say, I curse that in the name of Jesus. Stand your ground. You don't have to accept, embrace everything that comes your way. Wow. Thank you, Jesus. Say, stay strong. When the pressure's on, stay strong. When the pressure's on, trust God. Proverbs 3, verse 5 through 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. Even when I don't understand, I'm going to trust you. Lord, you tell me to do this. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. Some of the greatest testimonies or miracles that I've seen in praying for people was not when it happened immediately. I love when it happens immediately. But some of the most unique things that stand out in my mind is when I prayed for people and walked away, and in the natural, didn't see anything, didn't feel anything, and the devil begins to whisper, well, now what are you going to do? That didn't work. And I begin to say, it's not my job to make anything work. It's just my job to obey. And they get a phone call later and find out that they had an amazing miracle after I walked away, because it wasn't me. It was all about Jesus. Can I get an amen? Can I get a better amen? I'm telling you, when Jesus cursed the fig tree, he didn't curse it and call it bad names. He canceled its assignment, and then he moved on. He didn't have to stay and watch. Some of you are staying around watching and looking for physical affirmation to confirm the will of God. So you're looking for the physical to confirm the spiritual. You are looking for God to define something in the natural and putting out a fleece, hoping that God will confirm his spiritual by his natural. Don't look at Old Testament methodology for New Testament, because Old Testament was different. They worked under Old Covenant. They only had a few people that had the Holy Spirit upon them. You are a child of God, the temple of the Holy Ghost. You have the Holy Spirit in you. And Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and a voice of a stranger they will not follow. You don't have to let. Jesus didn't stand around and cancel the assignment and curse that victory and say, now watch, boys, watch what happens next. No, he moved on. He had something to do. He had a place to go. And it wasn't until later when they came back around that Peter brought it to his attention. Look, Lord, the other day, what you have canceled, it worked. What you said happened. What you decreed, it became true. Look at that, Lord. And Jesus didn't say, wow, thanks, Peter. I had no idea. I'm just trying this out. This is the first one for me. Nope, he had so much confidence in his word that when he began to speak it, he could move on. Are you listening to me? When you are standing your ground against opposition, that's not the time to take the test of the winds of your emotions to see if you're still in the right place. Well, Lord, if this is really you, I know you told me yesterday, but now it's today. Lord, I need you to reaffirm it. Lord, I need another experience. I need another goosebump. Lord, can you throw a goosebump right here just to confirm? No, you got to move beyond you just saying, looking for an emotion. You got to begin to say, I trust you. I trust you when I feel you. I trust you when I don't feel you. I trust you when I sense your presence. I trust you when I don't sense anything. For your word says you'll never leave me nor forsake me. And regardless of what I feel in the natural, I choose to trust you regardless of the winds. It's not a good time to feel spiritual. I'm looking to feel spiritual, Pastor. When you're in a storm, you're not going to feel spiritual. But the Bible didn't say feel spiritual. You're to be spiritual. And when you are spiritual, that means that you're spiritual regardless of what you feel, hear, or see. Because Romans tells us that people of faith aren't moved by what they feel, hear, or see. They're moved by the word of God. Amen. If you believe that, give the Lord a hand clap of praise. But Pastor, I got these questions that keep coming to me. When the pressure's on, we need to, A, allow God's peace to be our umpire. Colossians 3:15, and let the peace, the soul harmony which comes from Christ, rule, act as an umpire continually. In your hearts, deciding and settling, in your hearts, say, in my hearts. Do you know there's a difference between peace in your flesh and peace in your spirit? You can still feel a storm around you. It doesn't mean you don't recognize the storm. It doesn't mean you don't feel the hurtful words that's been spoken against you. You might feel them, but on the inside, you have peace. You know the difference? It's that peace on the inside. The Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the sons of God. When the peace of God, notice that, act as an umpire continually in your hearts, deciding and settling with finality all questions that arise in your minds in that peaceful state, to which as members of Christ, one body, you are also called to live and be thankful, appreciative, giving praise to God always. You can be in a storm. You can feel the opposition and feel the winds of opposition coming against you. But if you still have peace, in your spirit, you know you're in the right place. You begin to walk it out. Lord, I know the enemy's trying to attack me, but I'm going to keep walking. I'm going to stand my ground. I am not going to bend my knee. Amen. My flesh is screaming. My mind is trying to tell me things, but I'm going to pull down strongholds.
Yes.
I'm going to cast out imaginations and reasonings, and the Bible says, and any high thing to try to exalt itself against the knowledge of God.
That's right.
I'm going to bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of God in Christ Jesus. What am I doing? I'm telling my mind to shut up. You have a choice. You have a choice. You have a choice. You don't have to follow the imagination that flies into your mind. Just because a bird flies over your head, you can't stop it, but you can keep it from making a nest in your hair. You do not have to dwell on every thought. Some people, one thought, and they dwell on it and dwell on it and imagine it, and it becomes bigger. And next thing they know, that in their minds, they've done lived it, and they believe it's true. And all it was is a passing thought. The devil. We let the peace of God. I have times in my life where God asked me to do something and I knew I was going into battle. But I had to keep coming back to his word and his presence and knowing that his peace is on the inside. It's going to be okay.
Amen.
It's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. The doctor says one thing, but in your heart, you know it's going to be okay.
Amen.
The banker says something else, but in your spirit. See, if it's not okay in your spirit, that's what you need to take care of. You need to stay in the word, stay in the presence of God until you have peace in your spirit.
Amen.
When you have peace in your spirit, you know God's working behind the scenes.
Yes.
Did you hear me? When you have peace in your spirit, that means God's doing something.
Amen.
That means God's preparing a table for you in the midst of your enemies. God didn't say, get rid of your enemies and get everybody to like you and then I'll provide. No, he says, I'll make provision for you while your enemies. One translation says, while your enemies have to look on.
Yes.
God doesn't mind your enemies be around. Let them talk about you. Let them try to run you down as he brings you closer to him and he begins to show you and bless you and do things for your life and elevates you that they can't even deny or stop. Say, no big deal. And when the pressure's on, negate negative words.
Right.
Listen to me. The Bible is filled with scripture. Don't take my word for it. Challenge it. Your words have power.
Yes.
Proverbs says that death and life are in the power of the tongue. No, I'm just talking. There's nothing to it. If you don't think there's anything to your words, that definitely defines why you have problems praying and getting an answer.
All right now. All right.
It definitely explains why when you tell the devil to leave, he laughs. Because you don't believe in any power of your words.
Right.
But your words have power.
Yes.
Again, Proverbs says death and life are in the power of the tongue.
Right.
This is not mind over matter. This is the truth of God's word over a situation.
Yes.
James talks about that just like a bit in a horse that you can direct it, or a ship can be directed by something that's small, so is your tongue or your words. They direct your life. They make a difference.
Amen.
It's not just saying anything. It's beginning to say what God is saying.
Yeah.
But when negative things are spoken against you, you don't have to accept them. You don't have to allow them to be attacking you. Isaiah 55, let me give you context of the power of words. Isaiah 55, 11 says, as God's word goes forth, notice that his word moves. As God's word goes forth, it will accomplish that to which it sent it.
Right.
It's sent. Well, the devil's not a creator. He's an imitator of God. So when the enemy's speaking those evil words, they move too.
Right.
God's word produces life.
Amen.
For Jesus said, my words, they are spirit and they are life.
Yeah.
The devil's word brings destruction, yeah. Wounds, death.
Yeah.
Have you ever had someone say something to you and they didn't do anything? You know the old phrase, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. It don't work that way, does it? Some of you are still dealing with words spoken against you, negativity, from years gone by. Some of you wake up in the morning, you look in the mirror, and you don't see the reflection of who you are or who God's called you to be. You see the reflection of what's been spoken to you. You have labeled yourself, identified yourself based on the words that other people have. Literally, there's power in words. And that's why we encourage you, even in a service, it's just not teaching you information. There's an impartation with the anointing of God and the word of God that can strengthen you and empower you and free you. But on the flip side, the enemy has spoken. Everybody has dealt with this somewhere in your life where someone's wounded you or hurt you. And you walk away feeling, man, I am crushed on the inside.
Yeah.
Why? That's the evil of evil words.
Yeah.
You want to see what the Bible, where's that in the Bible, Pastor? Oh, I love it. We need to keep asking that. The Bible tells us in Isaiah 54, verse 17. Are you getting anything from this today?
Oh, yeah.
Hope you're enjoying this. Isaiah 54, 17, for the three people that clapped it are getting something out of this today. No, I'm joking. No weapon, say no weapon.
No weapon.
Notice this, we've quoted this a lot in the church world. No weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. But notice it continues. And every tongue that shall rise against you in judgment, you shall condemn.
Amen.
For this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and your righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. What is God saying? Listen, I'm not going to let any weapon formed against you prosper. And when words of judgment come against you, I need you to condemn them. Some of you need to speak it out loud. You walk through your house and say, I cancel every negative word spoken against me in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
You'll see how it'll change your atmosphere. I'm just being real. Some of us have walked around with heavy baggage because of words that someone told. Maybe they told you you're worthless. Maybe they told you no one's going to love you. Maybe they told you you'll never amount to anything. Maybe they told you you're ugly. Whatever it is, you walk around with that weight. And you people see you, but you see yourself by the weight of the words. And I'm telling you, you don't have to be bound by that. For whom the Son is set free is free indeed. You can condemn those words. You can rebuke those words. You can cancel their assignment and say no more. Shout no more. Say in the name of Jesus, I cancel and I curse, I condemn every negative word that's been spoken against me at any time in my life. In Jesus' name. Come on, give the Lord a hand clap of praise. You're free from that garbage. You're free from that garbage. You're free from that garbage. We will not let it stay around in our life for the devil to hit it like a button. Anytime that you start to do something God wants you to, and the devil tries to hit that button to remind you, and you'll relive it like it happened yesterday, and it happened when you were a little kid. But I'm telling you, starting now, you're free. For whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Never to be used against you again. Shout hallelujah. Last but not least, when the pressure's on, and if you've never felt pressure, then you probably have never done anything. I'm just telling you. What the enemy meant for evil, God can turn for good. Can't be afraid of pressure. See, I believe that you can walk and live in victory where it is easy for you. For his burden and yoke, Jesus said, is light and easy. It's light for you. It could crush the average person, but because of the grace of God, the goodness of God, the ability of God, the anointing of God. Are you with me, church? You don't walk just like the average. Oh, I got to stay here for a second. You don't walk just like the average person walks. You don't live just like your neighbors live unless they're a child anointed of God. No, no, no. You are a child of God. You are anointed of God. And that tells that you have the ability to carry the responsibility. To carry a responsibility that would create pressure for most people, but for you, you sleep good at night. I'm telling you, if you're under the weight of pressure, even in ministry, some ministers, they're under the weight of pressure, and sometimes it's because they put themselves in places God never called you to be. They're so into trying to compete and compare and get themselves up and become rich and famous. And I'm not against you being successful, rich or famous. God wants you blessed. God wants you to be visible. Amen. But if that's all you're trying to do and that's the ultimate goal, you'll get yourself places sometimes and the weight of the pressure, you're like, oh, OMG, Lord, how can I keep this thing going? But when you do it God's way, say God's way. Say you're anointed of God. You can own businesses. You can influence influencers. You can make a difference. You can do something. In the past, you would look back and say, there's no way. There's no way I could do that. There's no way. And God says, yes, there is a way. I want you to be a father of many nations. I want you to be a giant killer. I want you to be a lion mouth shutter. I want you to do what nobody else can do. You're going to do it by faith because I'm going to equip you. You're not like anybody else. When people are like, we need to hide, you'll be like, no big deal. Come on, David had a little cocky swag about him, didn't he? What's the reward for the guy who takes down this little giant? It's like, no big deal. They didn't like it. You know who don't like that kind of talk? The religious. The ones who are around but won't attack. The ones who are around but don't want to make a difference. They'll talk. They'll tell you about all the problems of everybody anywhere in the world or church or neighborhood, but they don't want to be part of the solution. Don't you worry about it. Listen, big people don't stop for small people. You hear me? Big people don't stop for little problems, little thinking, little words, little ideas, little perspectives. You can love them, but love them from afar. God's got greatness inside of you. God wants to do great things through you. Don't let little people keep you in the land of little. Rise up, child of God. Rise up, child of God. And begin to say, with Jesus, all things are possible. I believe it. I believe it. I believe it. I believe it. I'm going after this thing. I refuse to live in the land of little. I'm called to live in the land that God provided that flows with milk and honey. You're called to some great things. Sit down. Last but not least in our stand against opposition or pressure. When the pressure's on, the letter D, declare, listen to me, declare, we talked about speaking words, not only dealing with the negativity of words, but releasing the power of God's word. Yeah. Declare God's destination for your situation. Amen. Declare God's destination for your situation. Now listen to me. This is not denying, well, I'm just telling the truth. No, you're telling the facts. And the word of God says not to look at the temporal, the things that are subject to change. Right. Can that situation change? Yes. Yes. Then it's temporal. How do I know when something's temporal, according to King James? If it changes. Don't focus on the temporal. Focus on the eternal. Yeah. That's what you want to focus on. So I begin to say, see, faith confession is not just blab it and grab it and make up stuff. This is not mind over matter. And there's cults and weird stuff out there, but they'll usually take a 1% of truth and do some weird stuff and add 99% of error. Faith confession is saying what God is saying. Beginning to focus, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Forgetting which is behind and pressing toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. It's saying what God says about you. Amen. Not the situation in the moment. If you're throwing up, you can't say, I'm not throwing up. That's lying. But what you do is you begin to say the destination. Amen. Amen. What's the Bible say? Well, the Bible says that you are the healed of the Lord. Yes. Come on, somebody. That means not just from all diseases. I mean in your day-to-day life. You can have energy. You can have strength. You are the healed. Say, I'm the healed of the Lord. I didn't say this. The Bible said it. Look it up. The Bible says, let those who are weak say, I am strong. It didn't say, I'm weak and one day I'll be strong. It says, no, I feel weak, but God, your word says I'm strong by you. So I choose to say, I am strong in the strength of the Lord. You want to tick the devil off when he's got you down and feels like he's trying to take you out? Begin to smile and say, I'm strong in the Lord. He won't understand it. He won't know what to do. Begin to start praising the Lord. Father, I thank you that you have made me victorious today. Everything Psalms 1 I put my hands to is blessed in the Lord. I thank you, Father God. I'm increasing going in and going out. I thank you, Father, I am blessed going in and going out. I thank you, Father God, that you are my El Shaddai. You're my Jehovah Jireh. I have plenty more. And the devil's screaming, you're in debt. You're banking. You're bouncing checks. I thank you, Father God. I am saying my destination. I am beginning to decree what you say, where I'm going. Why? Because the Bible says that God sees the end from the beginning. And so what am I doing? I don't see it in the natural. That's why I have to trust him. I begin to say the truth of his word. I don't make things up. But can I declare that I'm going to be 7 foot tall? If you can find that in the scripture, but she won't. Do you see my point? You got to say what God is saying. And it's just not hearing it, but in the process of hearing it, you get faith. Romans 10:17. And in the process of faith, then you begin to decree something. The Bible says, we have believed, therefore we have spoken. We believe, therefore we speak. And they call it, this is called faith. The word of faith. What are we doing? I'm beginning to say my end. Not my process, my end. Not my temporary moment. The end. I'm looking. Jesus, look. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despised of the shame. What did he do? He focused on the end. Job 22, verse 28 says, thou shalt also decree a thing. You will declare, you will decree a thing, and it shall be established. Other translations try to water this down, and they are missing out on a spiritual principle. When you begin to speak God's word, you will decree a thing, and it shall be what? It shall be what? It's established. It's completed. Why? Because you are saying, God, I choose your words over the moment, and I'm going to let you, I'm opening up the door and letting you in. He's the word. Don't you get it? John 1:1 and verse 14. In the beginning was the word was with God, and the word was God. Verse 14, and the word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. So when I open up the door, invite him, because God can do anything except override your will. He will not override your will. He will not. So you have to invite him into the situation. That's why Mary and Martha, they didn't, moving the stone didn't heal their brother. It was giving Jesus permission to make the call. So what you're doing is when you begin to say what God is saying, you're saying, Lord, I don't see it. I don't even fully understand it, but I trust you so much, I'm going to agree with what your word says. And at the end, you call me healed. At the end, you've called me blessed. At the end, you've called me highly favored. At the end, you've called me productive. At the end, you've called me successful. At the end, you've called me with great peace. At the end, you've called me to have joy. At the end, I don't feel it right now, but I'm not worried about what I feel, hear, or see in the moment. I'm focusing on what you said. Abram, I'm changing your name because I want you to hear yourself say the completion. And it is God who is working in you. He is working in you to bring about that which is completed. Proverbs, the path of the righteous shines brighter and brighter and brighter until that completed day. He's got it completed. You got to tie in and say, I don't see it now, but I'm not moved by what I see in the natural. I'm going to be moved by what I see by revelation. Hebrews 11. One, and I'm going to begin to walk this thing out. Notice the verse. Notice, thou shalt also decree a thing, and it shall be established unto you. Amen. It doesn't stop there, though. Most of the time, we stop there. Most Christians stop there, even in the faith camp. Most of them will stop there, but the verse continues. Notice, thou shalt also decree a thing, and it shall be established unto you, and the light, say the light. Light. Shout the light. Come on, now let me bring some clarity to that. What is the light? What is the light? John 1, again. In him was light. And that light was the life. Excuse me. In him was life. And that life was the light unto men. Psalms 119. The entrance of his word, it gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. David said, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. What is the light? Light is understanding from the truth. Jesus said, if you continue in my words, then you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Amen. Right? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. All your ways acknowledge him. Look to the word, and he will what? Direct your path. What does he do? With understanding. Right. So you begin to say what God's saying about the completion of you, not the temporary journey of you. Right. And in the speaking of the word of truth, the completion, in the journey, he'll begin to give you understanding what you need to do. For Abraham, he said, come on out. Where are we going? Don't worry about that. Just come on out. Yeah. I need to separate you from some people. But they're family. I know, but they're family, but they're, you love them. You're family by blood, but they're not by destiny. I need to separate you from some people. Some of us are blaming God for things, and it's not God. We're just not listening to direction.
That's right.
You think you're trying to help somebody, but every time you talk to them, you're going in with the idea, I'm just going to be blessing and help them, and you're the one coming out discouraged. Maybe you're not the one God's called to bless them. If God didn't call you to be the one that can help them, then step away. You're called to somebody, but not everybody.
Right.
What did he do? He called. He began to guide Abraham. Abraham, come on out. Abraham, I want you to go here. Abraham, I want to do this. He walked him through the process. Nobody wants to typically walk through a process, do they? They want God just to do it, and they're like, oh, if God dropped his blessing on you the way he wants to bless you, some of you would be in a gambling boat and be busted and disgusted within 7 days. If God, are you listening? If God, it's like giving keys. Listen, you say, where do you get that in the Bible? Jesus said to his disciples, there's many things I want to tell you, but you're not ready for it. When I begin to speak the word, when I begin to agree, allowing my words to line up with his word, guess what happens? We are positioning ourselves to receive more. For to whom many is given, much is required. But Jesus said also that the ones who have five and turn to 10, that they're going to even get increased. They got the leftover from the person who refused to obey.
Right.
See, God has more for me. As you begin to walk it out, he'll shine understanding into your options, your decisions, your journey. He'll begin to say, it might be call this person. I don't know. I can't tell you. I'm not your Jesus. But you're like, Lord, I believe I'm here. I believe, according to your word, I am blessed. I believe, according to your word, I begin to say what you're saying. And whatever it is, and all of a sudden in the journey, he'll begin to say, hey, let me shine some light here.
Yeah.
If he's not shining light, don't try everything. You don't need to try everything.
Right.
Some of you are exhausting yourself. You're trying everything that everybody's ever done. It don't work that way. You follow him. Follow him. Follow him. Follow the understanding truth of his word, and he'll shine some understanding. It might be a day later, might be a week later, might be a month later. Whenever it is, you just keep doing. Be faithful where you're at. Am I helping somebody?
Yes.
You might be feeling the storm, but that's okay. You keep doing what God tells you to do. And all of a sudden, he'll bring to your attention and draw your attention. See, a lot of people are waiting for a hand to write on the wall or a big thunderous voice. Can it help you out with something? Many times it doesn't work that way. You know what I've noticed in my own walk with God? And I've had God speak to me thunderously and get my attention. I have. But most of the time, it doesn't happen that way. Do you know how the Holy Spirit speaks to me many times through not only the understanding of the word, he'll draw my attention subtly. It's like Elijah who just allowed Elisha as he was plowing. He took his mantle off and just touched him with it, and he kept moving. Some of you are waiting for three angels and a two course. A lot of times the Holy Spirit will just subtly draw your attention and move upon your heart.
Yeah.
We get so busy.
Yes.
We get moving so fast that we'll miss opportunities to minister to people, to help people, to make a difference, because we've already listed out what we have to accomplish today.
Yes.
We move so fast we can miss it because we're waiting for somebody else to tell us what we need to do. Learn to be sensitive to the person of the Holy Spirit. He'll subtly. Elijah found out that God wasn't in the big grandiose things all the time. That's what he was used to. But he also found out that God was mostly in the still small voice.
Yes.
He'll guide and direct your steps. Now if an angel shows up every morning with your coffee and gives you the three steps, God bless you. Never heard of that before. I'm happy for you. Probably not the case. But for the most of us, you're going to be walking, all of a sudden the Lord's just going to tug your heart toward attention. Lord, what is that? Why should I do that? And let him bring understanding, light from his word to that situation. Decree a thing and it shall be established unto you. Not to everybody, unto you. You don't need to worry about getting everybody to agree with you. Unto you. If it's not unto you, it's not going to benefit you. It's unto you. Decree a thing that shall be established unto you, and his light will shine on your path. And then simply obey. Because when opposition comes, you can run from it, or you can say, I'm going to rise above it.
Right. Yeah.
And I'm with the enemy meant for evil, God's going to turn for good. Because I'm going to do what God shows me to do. And stand my ground.
Yes.
If you believe that, give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Come on. Come on. If you be so gracious and bow your head and close your eyes, if you're here today and do not have a real relationship with Jesus, we're going to take communion in a few seconds, but before we do, I want to make sure everybody is prepared. If you do not have a real relationship with Jesus Christ, I'm not asking if you know about God. I'm asking, is he real to you in a way that you know for yourself that he's real and your Lord and Savior? With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you do not have a real relationship with him, This is your opportunity. Revelation 3, I stand at the door and knock, Jesus said. If you open up, I'll come in. Romans says, with the heart, man believes unto righteousness. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. So I want to lead you in a simple prayer that will make an eternal difference. For Romans 10 says, those who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Would you pray this prayer from your heart if you do not know him? Say with me, Heavenly Father, I turn to you today. I repent of all my sins. I believe in my heart. I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he came to this earth in the flesh, died on a cross for my sins, was buried for me, and on the third day rose again for me. Because I believe this, I ask you, Jesus, to come into my heart, wash me in your blood, forgive me, cleanse me. So, Jesus, I ask you to be my Lord and Savior. Thank you for saving me. Amen. Amen, church. Come on, give the Lord a hand clap of praise. If you prayed that prayer, just so I'm not here to embarrass you, but if you prayed that prayer, just so I know personally who I was praying with today, because I know that's more than one. But if you're here and you prayed that prayer first time or you're coming back either way, and you say, Pastor, I want you to know that that was me. I prayed that prayer with you. I gave my heart to the Lord for the first time or maybe coming back to the Lord again. If that's you, at the count of three, I want you simply, if you're bold, be quick so the shy people can jump in. But if that's you, I want you at the count of three, just lift your hand so I can see you. Will you do that? One, two, three. Pastor, that was me. Who was I praying with? I see the hand. God bless you. I see the hand. Second, third, fourth hand. God bless you. Anybody else? Anybody else? Fifth hand. Thank you. God bless you. Anybody else? Over here to my right. Amen. Amen, church. Amen.